This is a preview of the 11-step coaching program on motivational intelligence, available exclusively on the Mojo platform at joinmojo.com. To listen to more of the Motivational Intelligence Builder series and to discuss this and other concepts with inspiring leaders from around the world, apply to join the Mojo community at joinmojo.com. Welcome to the Motivational Intelligence Builder Series. This is a series of 11 builder meetings designed to help you embrace a new way to look at the world, modeled after the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions shared by the most successful people throughout history. Inside the sessions that follow, you'll experience how world-renowned executive coach Joe Gianni has personally coached top executives, world-class performers, and self-made millionaires to build the life they wanted. These people have all achieved monumental success using the concepts and frameworks that follow. I cannot emphasize to you enough how much I wish I had this before I met Joe. With each step, you'll listen to one of our foundational Mojo Mentality coaching sessions and complete the corresponding exercise. This process will provide you both with a lens through which to see the world and a framework through which to level up your life, career, and success. You will generate massive breakthroughs in your thinking and gain a renewed sense of clarity each time you complete this process. You'll see around corners, identify new opportunities, and ratchet up your results again and again. To progress through the series, you'll listen to each of the following coaching sessions, which are 30 to 60 minutes in length. After each session, you'll complete a simple exercise and discuss the session with your team or accountability group. At the end, you'll have a vision for your life and a whole new understanding about how to turn those dreams into reality. Begin now by listening to Builder Number 1.
And the more I studied it, the more I began to see that that was the overwhelming commonality of the most successful people that I ever met.
And just the empowerment of the conversations, how it just really motivates you. You don't come across people that impact you that way.
Because a lot of people could say to me, oh yeah, yeah, no, I get it. But yet they really don't get it.
This, if you really lean into it, can be life-changing. Mojo's is part of our DNA and what we do during team meetings.
And I just looked at Randy like, oh my God.
I feel like that's made a lot of impact in my direct reports life because they're not afraid to talk to me.
But I started to see what this gentleman said in the podcast. And I was like, it was just kind of surreal because it was almost like he foreshadowed what I was going to be up against that
week. If they would come in every week and ask me, Paul, how far would you like to get? That's when I told them 105%. And they laughed. And I said, no, 105% is where I'm going to be.
I think that that concept is one that everybody can buy into and saying that I can improve 1% from yesterday.
An unstoppable state of mind that enables you and I to achieve everything that we want out of our professional and our personal life. So first and foremost, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity to work with you over the last handful of years and for the distinct honor and privilege to be your coach and mentor, something that I never accepted lightly. I don't accept lightly with anybody that I've coached and mentored. And I really want to thank you for the opportunity to fulfill that role for you. I have had the distinct honor and privilege to really coach and mentor just amazing people through the last several decades of my career. This is a real distinguished bunch of people that I have in my mind's eye, and you firmly have earned your seat in that circle. So thank you.
I appreciate that. And what you've shared with me has changed how I look at the world in virtually every way. The journey you've taken me on is really like going from living life in black and white to living life in full color.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool and very true, because that's what it was like for me when I met my mentor. I share with you that it really is a very powerful and magical journey that we're on. And I say it that way because what I learned throughout the decades of my life is that in order to really truly build a tremendously successful career and also a successful life, it required some real specialized knowledge. And I began to realize that it was specialized knowledge that was not taught in any of the formal education system that I was ever involved in. You know, we're all familiar with intelligence. There's IQ, which is, you know, how fast people can learn things, how quickly they can comprehend concepts and solve problems. And IQ is really, really important when it comes to helping people build and live a successful life. But also in the same breath, I realized that it wasn't the most important thing. It wasn't the most important thing because I've met many people that were significantly smarter than I am, significantly smarter than most people, but yet they had not really ever learned how to get out of their own way and really choose what they want out of life and pursue it and make it happen. So I began to realize early on, as I just observed people, people I've met, but also people I learned throughout history, is that they weren't always the smartest person in the room. In fact, many times they weren't. The other thing that when it comes to intelligence is emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence has become really strong and well-known in the last 10, 15 years. And it's valuable. It's very valuable. It's basically the study of our emotions, understanding our own emotions and understanding the emotions of other people, and most importantly, how they interplay with each other. And it's important. It's valuable. But yet, we've all met people that are really likable and people that, you know, are just great to hang out with and people that we really can't wait to see, but not necessarily are they the most successful people we've ever met. In fact, many times they're not successful at all. So I began to realize early on that emotional intelligence was not the key. I began to realize that the key really lied in an entire genre of knowledge that really just is non-existent, and it's motivational intelligence. As I study successful people, I began to realize that they just plain didn't have the same thoughts, beliefs, and convictions about themselves and about life as a whole that unsuccessful people tend to formulate in their mind's eye. And the more I studied it, the more I began to see that that was the overwhelming commonality of the most successful people that I ever met. There was a commonality of the way that they thought about themselves, the way they thought about life, the way they see everything. And that is what was the common denominator.
People have this intuition that there's something missing, that there's something else at play here. There's a lot of people who you look at and think they really should be successful, but they're not. And the flip side of that is there's a lot of people you look at and say, how in God's name is that person successful?
Yeah.
And yet they are. And as you've brought me through this journey, it really goes from, you know, playing checkers to playing chess and looking at life in two dimensions versus looking at life in three dimensions or maybe a few more. But it really is going from checkers to chess in that when you learn this, you almost aren't playing the same game as everybody else.
Yeah, you're actually, when you learn this, you no longer play the same game that 95 to 98% of the people you ever meet play. And I don't mean that in a condescending way or an egotistical way at all. I mean it in just terms of being a real student and a lover of people, you know, really watching people and watching them really get locked up or be locked up or live locked up as opposed to really living free, really having their mojo on and really making life happen the way they want to happen. And, you know, in the journey, I also realized as I began to coach and mentor people that once I began to identify the fact that there was certain mental chiropractic adjustments that I needed to make in their thinking, meaning their beliefs and their convictions, I began to realize how tricky and difficult this could be and would be if I just simply tried to point it out. I used to try to point it out in the early stages, and I want to assure you that that didn't work. In fact, it did not even get, you know, really kind reactions from people, even people that I cared about, and they cared about me. They were letting me help them, but it was not effective. So I've learned along the way that the power of this specialized knowledge, it can't necessarily be told in the early stages. It has to be revealed to the individual. And that's why I say it is a magical and unique journey that I was taken on by my mentor and that you've allowed me to take you on. And I'm really, really, really excited about continuing that path and sharing that path.
Yeah, it definitely is something that gets revealed in dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It gets revealed over time in conversation, because it's something that you more and more kind of start to see it at work and at play, and certain points in time, things just kind of click.
Yeah.
And it takes some time to get there and to really understand the core of what it is that we're talking about. But that's really how it's been between you and I.
Yeah. And our journey, you know, really began, and it begins every time in coaching somebody by pointing out and sharing with them that I've really never met anybody that doesn't truly deep in their heart, even though they might not even say it out loud, wish to become more successful, has a desire to want to become better, become more, achieve more, have more. It's innate in us. But yet, very few people that I ever meet ever really truly understand what building success in our professional life and in our personal life really looks like. What are the core ingredients to achieving success in life? And so I begin our journey today by asking you, what do you think most people really think about when it comes to wanting to become more successful?
You know, when you look at a lot of people that have become enormously successful in whatever it is, in a career or starting a business or in athletics or whatever field, I think the commonality you see with them is that they're incredibly motivated people, and they've built this strong, resilient mind. And that's been more of a factor than really anything else. You see it when you look at great athletes. Michael Jordan was like that. You know, Kobe even had a name for it, with the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
But you see it in people like Serena Williams. You see it in people like Oprah. You see it in people like Steve Jobs. It's kind of all over
Bill
the board.
Gates.
Bill Gates.
Yep.
But when you look at all of those people, they were just determined, and they had this really strong will and strong mind to get where they wanted to go and get the things in life that they wanted to have or accomplish.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In the world of sports, they use it a lot. You know, he or she had their mojo on. And I obviously couldn't agree more. That's exactly what it is. You hear it all the time. They lost their mojo. Oh, they got their mojo. Well, you know, we even ourselves, we say, oh, man, I got it all firing. I'm firing all cylinders, man. I got my mojo on. It's a common expression. But in the world that you and I are in together, it really stands for exactly that development of the inner world, the proper mind structure, because that's really where the source of mojo comes from. You know, I've always coached and developed people that way and spoke to them about mojo, because that's really truly what I discovered early in my journey, that it was about helping to understand that there are certain beliefs and convictions and thinking that people who rise and become massively successful, they have a different drum that they beat to. And it is a powerful drum that virtually enables them to really go and live life the way they want to live it. What do you think when I say that?
It's certainly something that you feel when you have. I know everybody's been in that state where they feel unstoppable. They feel like everything they touch turns to gold. They're just on a roll. They're in the zone, whatever you want to call it. Everybody has felt that in some aspect of their life. I think what's remained elusive for most people, and you know, until you and I met, definitely for myself, is I have no idea how that happened or why that happened or how to stay there or how to get it back.
Yeah.
And I remember even being in that state at times and really thinking about why.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out because I didn't have the vocabulary. I didn't have the kind of background education to really understand it. But I think it's something that people have all felt before, but what they haven't been taught is, how do you do that consistently?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's void. We're given the tools and the process, the breakdown on how to learn how to write. We're given in the formal education system the step-by-step way to really master these different schooling abilities from reading and writing and arithmetic. But the reality is that we're never, ever really taught how to build the most powerful, most important thing of all, which is how to build ourselves. How to build ourselves and to reach our full potential so that we really can have and do and achieve what it is that we really want in life. Those thought impulses that we have of the life we want to have, the future we want to have, that all of us have in high school, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you think about, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And yet there are people that you and I grow up with and they virtually go on and they build and they live their life just like that. I grew up with someone who became famous, a lifelong friend of mine, and, you know, I watched that happen, and it didn't happen because of being in the right place at the right time. It happened because of who they were, who they became, their internal mindset, which, you know, I'll talk about more but in the future, but it's a difference in that thinking. And it's very different than the way most people are taught or stumble upon thinking about their life and their future and the success that they want to have. What do most people really think when it comes to success? How do they really think it comes about?
I mean, there's all the cliche things. There's, you know, I think luck is a big one, being in the right place at the right time. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I think natural ability is another one where some people are good at that. I'm just not.
Right. All that kind of thinking.
Yeah, all that kind of thinking that people use as crutches.
Yeah. But, you know, when you step back and you start to really look at people who are successful, it starts by first really understanding the definition of success. I mean, who defines success for you or for me? The reality is nobody does other than you or me. Meaning we decide what is successful for us in our lives, not somebody else, not a friend, not a neighbor, not a teacher, not even a parent. You and I decide what it is that we want to have in life. And the only measurement of our success is not compared to anybody else and what they want out of life, but the understanding of our ability to truly embrace that concept. The concept that says, I choose what I want out of life. The only benchmark or measurement, therefore, is whether or not I'm living that, whether or not I'm accomplishing that, whether or not I'm checking those things off as I journey through life. And that is completely juxtaposed to the way that most people going through their careers and in their personal lives go through life. They do not understand that. I mean, it'd be like watching a football game where there's no goals to defend or to accomplish, you know, or to achieve. How do you know who wins the game? So it all starts with the understanding that we are the makers and the shapers and the creators of our destiny, our future, that chance is not, that randomness is not, that someone else telling us what it should be and what it shouldn't be is not. We choose, we decide. And all great people, all people that have achieved greatness in their life, that's what and how they've built their life. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah. They very much embody, this is who I am, this is what I want, and this is what it's going to be.
And nobody's going to tell them opposite of that.
Nobody's going to tell them, period. Yeah.
See, throughout history, when you and I stop and you really look and you study successful people, you know, and formal education, we study about a lot of people from Christopher Columbus to Mother Teresa to business people, all the different great inventors like Thomas Edison. We study all these people and we showcase their accomplishments. That's what we study, the dates that their benchmarks of success happened or what it is that they accomplished. But what we fail to study in the formal education system is who these men and women had to become as individuals in order to make those things happen in their life.
Yeah, everything you look at history or even look at the modern media landscape and everything looks like an overnight success.
Right.
Everything looks like, yeah, they just, you know, whipped this together. And it's funny because if you actually look at the interviews with those people, they laugh.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They'll laugh at yeah, that absolutely. Concept.
I was an instant success. It just took 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
of
exactly.
pain.
Yeah.
and challenges and overcoming setbacks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The best example is the late great inventor, Thomas Edison. And I always use him because, you know, everybody's familiar with him. Everybody's familiar with his inventions, or at least some of them. Everybody knows that he obviously created the incandescent light bulb. But a lot of people may or may not realize he created the first car battery. He created the curling iron. He created cement, phonograph, movie pictures. I mean, these are all things that this individual created. You see, what I want you and I to realize and never forget is that Edison beat to a different drum. Edison understood that he was the creator, that he had the power to envision what it is that he wanted to do, what he wanted to accomplish, what he wanted to create, and then stay in that place of mind until it became reality. Edison didn't have the incandescent light bulb or the curling iron or cement sitting on the kitchen table saying, oh, geez, I think I'll make these, you know. That's not how it happened. What happened was he created these ideas, these visions, these thought impulses in his inner world, and he stayed in that vision. He stayed with those convictions of mind long enough and hard enough until that which he created first in his inner world became reality in his outer world. And when you and I stop and you study all successful people, that is the commonality that you see. And it's the first commonality that in terms of mentoring and coaching people to have explosive careers and explosive personal lives. It's been about kind of doing a mental chiropractic adjustment to understand that our creator doesn't mock us, that we don't get thought impulses and inspirational visions of what we want to do, where we want to go, what we want to have, who we want to become, without first being given the ability to make that happen. But if we're never spoken to that way, if we're not formally taught this way, then we can go through a whole bunch of life with moments of inspiration, moments of excitement, only to rationalize all the reasons why they're for other people and not us, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that you obviously see in those people with how hard they work and how much they stick to their visions or their dreams or their goals. With Thomas Edison, the famous 10,000 experiments to create the incandescent light bulb, there's no way that
guy... And 50,000 to create the first car battery.
Was it
for
really?
His friend Henry Ford. Yeah, 50,000!
That's insane. Yeah. But, you know, like, there's no way that guy sticks with it that long unless he really believes this idea that I had in my head, it's possible.
Correct.
Like, I can do this.
Yeah, the traits that you and I see in people who are massively successful in life, again, not just professionally, but in life, they are men and women who literally believe deep in their corpuscle that what they envision, they can, if they stay with it long enough, it can and will happen. The traits of persistence and determination and initiative and drive, you know, all those things. People think they're born to some people and not to other people. But the truth of the matter is they're outward reflections of a man or a woman's inner mindset, mind structure. But again, if we're never taught these things, how do we then go ahead and build and set goals and achieve what it is that we want in life if we're never even given the beginnings of that user's manual to this great thing of, you know, called me?
Yeah. Well, and I think it strikes me as very much a muscle in that that's a belief or conviction that they have that they continuously work on and strengthen over time. It's not something that some people are born with and not others. They embed it in themselves. They think like that every day and they strengthen that mental muscle to really embody and believe that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is the underpinnings of mojo. And you and I as adults will see people in and out of life. We meet them every week, every month, every year in our lives. All of us do. Where, you know, they just seem like they got it all firing. You know, they're positive, they're happy, and they're resilient, and they're doing it and living life, their careers and their personal life exactly the way they want them to. And yet other people that are just all locked up and they can't seem to get out of their own way. And you are correct. It is because they've not evolved that mental muscle, if you will. They've not developed that mind structure that ultimately enables them to truly become unstoppable with the life that they want to have.
That's something that once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Exactly.
You see it everywhere.
Exactly.
You see it in magazine profiles of business leaders. You see it in interviews with athletes after games. You see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like it's hiding in plain sight.
And the travesty, I like that, hiding in plain sight, because it is. It is hiding in plain sight, but unless our eyes are trained to see it, we can go through decades, we can go through an entire lifetime and never really understand the magnificent gift that we have. See, every one of us has been given this magnificent gift, and that gift is called life. But the very essence of that gift is your and my power to create, meaning dogs can't create, orangutans can't create, but you and I as human beings, we have the power to create. We have the power to envision into the future that what we want, and then through the process of staying with that vision, actually making it become reality. Now, there are a few other pieces and components that, you know, we'll talk about as we journey forward and we've talked about before, but the most important one is the first one, to really understand the gift of life and the power to create. I see it all the time where people have a dullness in their eye. There's no one's zeal for life. There's no enthusiasm, because not only do they not understand their power to create and their ability to envision the future, but even if they do, they've been conditioned to think in minimums, to dream in minimums rather than in maximums. In other words, it's not what's the most I can accomplish in my career versus what's the least I can do. What's the most I can accomplish in terms of being a father or a mother? What's the most I can accomplish in terms of being a friend to other people? What's the most I can accomplish in terms of being a coworker? In other words, that maximum vision and thinking is, again, completely conditioned out of them. Society, unfortunately, conditions these things out of us, but yet these things are the underpinnings to developing that mojo mindset.
You see it more as with kids. There's the famous experiment of kids sitting in a class. They would take a survey of them every year, and they would say, how many kids in here think of themselves? How many kids in here are an artist? And, you know, in kindergarten, all the kids raise their hand. And then they take the poll in second grade, and how many kids in here are an artist? And 80% of the kids raise their hand. And take it in fourth grade, how many kids in here are an artist? And maybe it's 60% of the kids raise their hand. And by the time they get to the end of high school, how many kids in here are an artist? Maybe you're getting one.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I want to tell you a story that I don't believe I've ever shared with you before, but, you know, years ago when my oldest son, Jordan, was in high school, he came home one night and he said, you know, Dad, he said, my economics teacher wanted to, was doing a lesson on entrepreneurship, and he asked the class if any of the parents own their own business. And I raised my hand and said, yeah, you know, my dad owns his own business. And so the teacher, Mr. Weber, asked if, you know, you'd be interested in coming in and speaking to the class. And I said, sure, I'd love to. Have him call me. So next day, you know, the teacher called me up and I asked him about the class. And I said, well, you know, is it a class on entrepreneurship? He goes, no, it's economics. He goes, but it's a chapter on entrepreneurship. And I said, well, if you give me a little rope, I said, you know, I'd like to broaden it out so I can talk to everybody in the group and be a little creative. He said, well, you know, you're volunteering your time. He said, by all means. And I said, okay, I'll talk about business, but I have a little different thought. And so I crafted this talk, and I went in and I spoke to the class. And what I basically shared with the class is I asked people, what do they want to do? What do they want to have? Where do they want to go in life? And they started sharing, you know, all the different things they wanted to do. And I asked them, you know, who can think of entrepreneurs? And they named a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, the obvious ones, you know, here in Rochester, New York, George Eastman and Tom Golisano. And, of course, everybody knows, you know, Henry Ford and all those. But ultimately, what I was hoping them to see is that those people that accomplish great things virtually do so because of the way that they think, and that ultimately all of us are entrepreneurs in life. All of us have the power to be a creator in life, and not just in business, but in terms of every aspect of life. And it was really awesome to watch these young, evolving young adults, you know, probably at the age of 16 years old, watching them really, truly buy into that messaging, like they were starving for it. And it was interesting because basically my message for that 45-minute chat with them was that whatever you envision, whatever you imagine for your career and for your life, you have the ability to make that happen. And that night I was sitting at the dinner table and I sheepishly said to my son, hey, you know, how did everything go? You know, because I actually, the teacher had asked me to speak to three of his classes. So I spoke to three different classes, not just my own son's class. And he said, you know, Dad, he goes, it was good. He goes, you know, it was really helpful. He goes, everybody liked it. He goes, it was kind of got a little strange. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I had kids running down the hallway, running up to me and saying, oh my gosh, I met your dad and he changed my life. You know, and it was pretty overwhelming to him, I could tell, you know. And I just simply said to him, I said, well, you know, son, I said, Dad didn't change their lives. I said, the message changed their lives. I said, Dad spoke to a part of them that is inside of all of us, the part that wants to come out, the part that wants to grow, the part that wants to really become all that we can become. And when you and I talk to that level of the inner language of the soul, I call it, when you and I speak to people at that level, it awakens them. And that's really what you witness. Now, I was a little heavy for a 16-year-old, but he kind of understood what I was saying there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely. I think it does. It wakes something up in people that a lot of times they didn't realize they have.
Yeah.
Or they forget that they had.
Yeah. So for our conversation today, it's really about understanding mojo as a mindset. It's an organized mindset. It's really about understanding that a lot of that mindset we've not been taught. The common college, high school graduation talks, you and I know, they're all the same, right? Yes, go now, you know, achieve your goals, chase your dreams. But, you know, where the heck did they really teach us about that? Did they really teach us any of that? The answer, 99.9% of the time, and the answer is what?
No.
It's that body of information that's void. It truly is void. Think about, what if I were able to promise you and anybody else that were to sit and be coached and mentored this way, that there really was a body of knowledge that really was able to give you, me, and them everything that they wanted in their life. What would it be worth?
It'd be worth everything.
It'd be worth everything, right? It'd be priceless. Well, what I want to share with you is, and I have shared with you before, is that is exactly what our conversations have been about. And you know firsthand. It's profound in terms of the insight and in the sequencing of our journey together. And it is truly a travesty that we're not formally taught this. And yet every single career that I've ever helped ignite and move forward with, starting with my own, from my mentor, which I'll talk about, you know, in the future. But it's been because of studying these things and understanding these things. And that's what is so overwhelming at first, to realize that there could be a body of knowledge that exists that in the general vernacular of society isn't even spoken about. And the first one and the first piece is to just understand success. That success is not something that happens outside of us. It's not something that happens in the future. It's something that we create first in our inner world. And then we begin to progressively become the person capable and worthy of making it happen. And we'll talk more about that. Because it's not enough to just have great visions and to dream about our future in full color. It's about really understanding the other piece, the next piece, which is that before we can have these things, we have to actually become the person that's capable and worthy of making those things happen. We become that person, and then we draw the level of success into our life that we want to have happen. But it all starts with just our conversation today.
Thanks for listening today. This is your coach, Joe Gianni, and it is my distinct pleasure and honor to share this mojo moment with you. In fact, after each lesson, I'd like to take just a moment to speak directly to you about the lesson that you just completed. My goal and objective in doing this is a couple of fold. First off, so that we get to know each other a little better personally, but also to provide you a little backdrop and insight to the information and the conversation that I'm having with Sean throughout each lesson. This first lesson was really dedicated to welcome you to the Mojo world of Mojo learning. Mojo stands for the acronym Mindset Optimization equals Journey Optimization. And it is a development process that myself and my dynamic team pioneered over 30 years ago. Basically, what Mojo learning is all about and based upon was a hypothesis that we started with based on the mentoring that I had, which is that people don't embrace ideas, They don't refine strategies and develop their skill sets until they first have the proper belief about themselves, about their potential, and about their self-efficacy. And so why spend so much time and energy trying to tell people what to do or focus them on a strategy or a skill without first developing a pure, unadulterated, powerful mindset from which all things become possible? My conversation with Sean really spoke to the very heart of what you and I observe and witness in all successful people, all achievers, and that is that they don't beat to the same drum that most other people do. They don't act or react to the same situations as the majority of people do. And as a result, they get different results. And in fact, most of the time, bigger, more powerful, more abundant results. And so our journey begins, and I want to assure you of a couple of things. First off, our journey is powerful. And the second thing, it's magical. And I don't say those two words to you lightly. It's powerful because it focuses on helping you to develop the proper mind structure that will unlock you and enable you to achieve everything that you want out of your career and out of your personal life. I say that in terms of it being powerful because after 30 years of closely coaching people, also implementing enterprise-level training systems at the biggest, most iconic companies in the world that truly have invested millions of dollars for this intellectual property, the impact each and every time has been profound and exacting, meaning it's delivered to the organizations, the companies, and the individuals exactly what it is that they shared they wanted to achieve. Now, I know that might sound like an over-the-top response or statement, but I want to assure you it is absolutely the truth. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is because this information is truly what has been missing in the overwhelming amount of formal education that you and I have all received through the formal institutions. I'm not bashing those things at all. I run a learning company. I'm a big believer in education, but I'm also a bigger believer in the right education. It takes the right education to get the right results that we want in life. And that's what makes the Mojo coaching journey so powerful. The second thing I say to you is that it's magical. And it's magical for one simple reason. Because rather than a talking head, me just speaking right at you and trying to tell you what to do, I shared with you, as you heard me speak to Sean, that trying to tell people what they need to change, what they need to do different, or how they need to think different, or how they need to see something different, really doesn't work. In fact, people become quite offended by it. I know that from firsthand experience in the early stages. Here I was with people that trusted me implicitly, really cared about me, and I cared about them. But once I started to guide them directly, it made it very difficult for them to move as quickly as not only they wanted to, but I wanted to see them move. And I realized that the most powerful way for me to help them was to be more indirect through storytelling, conversation. So it's magical because you and I are going to continue the journey and just have casual conversations. But in those casual conversations, I am carefully beginning to help you to identify key areas to challenge your thoughts, your beliefs, to make sure that they are optimal thoughts and beliefs that ultimately will unlock you and enable you to begin to build more aggressively the professional and personal life that you want and the results that you seek. This being said, the last thing I want to share with you or talk about today is, what do you think the goal, my main objective and directive of our first lesson in Mojo was today? What part of the mind structure was I looking to help you and I to take a look at and potentially challenge or just reinforce if the belief that you have right now is already in good shape? You're thinking about it. And I think it's pretty obvious. I think that the most important thing that I want us to see is that all things that you and I will ever accomplish and achieve in our life will first happen in our mind's eye first. That you and I are the creators, the makers, and the shapers of our future and our destiny. Chances not. It all starts by recognizing and paying close attention to our creative imagination. That little voice inside your head that each time it says, I wish, I want, I would like to. That these thought impulses, these internal narratives are basically the future of your life. They are the shapers of your future if you listen to them. And so it's important, just like the greats from scientists to athletes to political leaders to generals, they listen to the internal voice that was inside their head. And one of the most basic tenets of a belief that they have, all people with mojo have, is that they have the power to create. They have the power to envision the future that they want to have. And by staying with that vision, they can progressively make it become reality. I'm really excited about the journey, and I want to thank you again for the hand of faith that you've extended to me to be your professional and personal coach and mentor. I'm excited about the next lesson, and you have yourself a great day, and thanks again for listening. Till then, go get yourself some mojo. I'll talk to you soon. And the more I studied it, the more I began to see that that was the overwhelming commonality of the most successful people that I ever met.
And just the empowerment of the conversations, how it just really motivates you. You don't come across people that impact you that way.
Because a lot of people could say to me, oh yeah, no, I get it. But yet they really don't get it.
This, if you really lean into it, can be life-changing.
Mojo's is part of our DNA and what we do during team meetings.
And I just looked at Randy like, oh my God.
I feel like that's made a lot of impact in my direct reports life because they're not afraid to talk to me.
But I started to see what this gentleman said in the podcast. And I was like, it was just kind of surreal because it was almost like he foreshadowed what I was going to be up against that
week. They would come in every week and ask me, Paul, how far would you like to get? That's when I told them 105%. And they laughed. And I said, no, 105% is where I'm going to be.
I think that that concept is one that everybody can buy into and saying that I can improve 1% from yesterday.
An unstoppable state of mind that enables you and I to achieve everything that we want out of our professional and our personal life.
Thanks for listening to this preview of the 11-step coaching program on motivational intelligence, available exclusively on the Mojo platform at joinmojo.com. To listen to more of the Motivational Intelligence Builder series and to discuss this and other concepts with inspiring leaders from around the world, apply to join the Mojo community at joinmojo.com.